Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour deflector shield shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How we doing? Happy Thursday. Got a fun show for you. We've got the very funny Sean Wayans in studio. So we'll get to have him drop on by and play 10 questions with us. So you'll want to make sure that you watch that on the Watch DA page. You could watch the live digital broadcast every single day. Sean's going to join us 1 hour from now in studio. The funny Sean Wayans joining us today on the DA. Also, is Brock Osweiler delusional? Scottie Pippen's words getting twisted? And there is fallout after Mraz's flag football league story yesterday about him leaving the bench to pull an overly aggressive opponent away from a fracas. We discussed at length yesterday on the show. It caused Mraz to get popped right in the bridge of the nose. That went viral. The league found out. Officials, coaches, captains. There was a meltdown in the flag football league yesterday on the message boards and all across the text messages and email threads of all of these guys. So we shall discuss the fallout of the flag football league controversy coming up here later on in the show. As always, I like to get you guys involved, so why not? At 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS, and Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Tonight, we've got Game 5. Cavaliers can put this thing on ice and move ahead to their third straight NBA Finals. It will be LeBron's seventh straight NBA Finals, which is just ridiculous when you think about it. And the question becomes, why would Ty Lue say that? Ty Lue, going into this game, Game 5, was a little too complimentary toward the Boston Celtics and their offense. He said, I don't even think about the Warriors right now. We're just focused on Boston. The stuff that they're running is actually harder to defend than Golden State for me. As far as the actions and all of the running around and all of the guys who are making all of the plays, it's just a totally different thing. And everybody is zoomed in on Ty Lue already giving the Warriors bulletin board material. The coach of the Cavs, not even a dopey player like J.R. Smith, the coach of the Cavs giving the Warriors a little motivation saying, yeah, I mean, the Celtics are even tougher to defend than the Warriors. I don't worry about the Warriors. I'm worried about the Celtics. Why would you say that, Ty Lue? E.T. phone home. Ty Lue phone home. Don't say that, Reese's Pieces. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
We know that we have a
small margin, but we know that if we play the next play the right way, you know, we got a chance to win that possession. And, you know, you just try to add those up to win the game.
They still have two all-stars on the floor. You know, with the best player in the world, they go to unreal, but they're still a pretty darn good team, you know, when those guys are out there.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's Brad Stevens before tonight's game five. Ty Lue went on to say, they hit the post, Golden State runs splits and all that stuff. But these guys, the Celtics, are running all types of bleep. I'll be like, damn, they're running all types of bleep, man. And Brad's got them moving and cutting and playing with pace, and everybody is a threat. It's tough, you know. It's really tough. With Isaiah going down, Ty Lue said, that's 29 points a game, and now you've got to scheme and try to do something different for a whole other system. It's tough. And we really didn't know what to expect, but I thought we did a good job of making some adjustments at the end of the second quarter and the third quarter and the second half of game four that really helped us out. So Ty Lue was then asked whether the Celtics are actually more dangerous without Isaiah Thomas. He said, somebody just asked me that. I wouldn't say so because at moments like this, when they needed a basket or a bucket, who do you really go to on a consistent basis? That's where he's big for this team. And, of course, all the movement and stuff is good. But then there comes a time where, okay, we need a basket. So why do we go? So who do we go to get that? And that's where he's been so big for them and so crucial this year. End of quote. Why would Ty Lue say this? I think Ty Lue was in a moment where he was trying to be very complimentary to his opponent. And he was being a little too honest. He was a little too comfortable. His guard was too down. You know, he's cursing with the journalists that are picking up his quotes here. He's using F-bombs. He's using S-bombs. So clearly he's really, really guard down comfortable in this moment. And I'm sure part of this is just total truth. Brad Stevens is a really good coach. They've kind of junked it up. They've made it really, really, really difficult to defend because without Isaiah, they've got to get way more creative. So they're just pouring the entire bucket out onto the floor and just trying anything and everything. But if you're Ty Lue, here's the thing. Why can't you just say, man, the Celtics team is really difficult right now. Man, right now they're being so well coached. It's really difficult for us to defend. They're so good. Isaiah Thomas is so good, but even without him right now, they're really throwing a lot of stuff at us, and it's tough. Why even invoke the Warriors? Why even bother talking about the Warriors? Why do you even have to suggest that this is harder than the Warriors? I mean, I think that legitimately the Cavaliers hate the Warriors. I think last year, when Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are all laughing at LeBron, when they go up 3-1, I think there is a real hatred between these two teams and how the Warriors handled themselves. And I think also for LeBron feeling completely disrespected and then playing like a madman with his hair on fire to come back from down 3-1 when he had already played like a madman with his hair on fire the previous NBA Finals as well. So I think legitimately they don't respect the Warriors in that way. I think that they dislike the Warriors, and they like to take shots at the Warriors. But if you're the coach of the Cavs, leave it alone, man. Leave it alone. Take care of your business tonight. And don't give an already dangerous, an already explosive, dynamic team more fuel before you've even gotten to the NBA Finals. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Tonight's actually kind of an interesting game. We all expect the Cavaliers to wrap it up tonight. And so I don't know if what the interest is the drama of what's going to happen. I think the interest is, think about how bizarre these four games have been. And will it follow that rhythm tonight? What I mean by that is, the first two games in Boston, the Cavaliers were on a different planet. The Celtics got crushed by 25 and by 40 in games one and games two. It wasn't a fair fight, and that was with Isaiah Thomas. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating for the Celtics. And then they went back to Cleveland, and that's when the Celtics played their best basketball. Second half of game three, coming all the way back from down 21, and then game four, having the big lead of the first half, and then trying to fight tooth and nail to win that game in game four. I wonder if part of that is the Cavaliers with their guard down, taking it a little easy because they're not on the road. Maybe being at home, you've got to give tickets to your family and friends. There's a lot more of the local pressures that come along with it. Maybe you lack the same focus. Maybe you kind of take it easy a little bit because you're at home and you think it's going to be easier. You think that the fans are going to help you just move right along. For whatever reason, the Cavaliers did not play with the same urgency and the same discipline, the same focus as the first two games. I wonder if tonight's going to be the same thing, where the Cavaliers now away from Cleveland actually will play better. You know, you think, wow, okay, they're going back to Boston. The Celtics have played their best two games, the last two games. Maybe tonight is a chance for the Celtics to extend the series, win a game five, push it to a game six in Cleveland. And if they push it to a game six and have won two games in this series, that's a huge victory for the Celtics. But maybe going to Boston is exactly the type of thing that the Cavaliers need to go into uber focus mode. And I think about what going and playing in Boston has meant to LeBron James. It is the turning point in LeBron's career. It is the turning point. LeBron, when he was with the Cavaliers 1.0, could not get past the big three in Boston. They kept knocking him out of the playoffs. Then he went to Miami, and he could not win a championship. He had lost that first year to the Mavericks. And everybody said LeBron doesn't have the it factor. He doesn't have the clutch gene. And the Celtics against Miami in 2012 had gone up 3-2 by winning down in Miami. And there was a game six at the Garden, Eastern Conference Finals in Boston, game six. A win for the Celtics means they're going to their third NBA Finals with the big three. And everybody in Boston expected the same old. LeBron would be passive. He'd be shooken by the home crowd in Boston and the Celtics, and they had his number and all of that. And what ended up happening? LeBron walked into that building with a fire in his eyes that no one had ever seen before and said, "I will dominate everybody on the floor," and went for 45 and 15 in one of the greatest road performances in NBA playoff history with everything on the line. They would then end up winning game seven as well back in Miami when he had 30 and a triple-double. That was the turning point going to Boston. And going to Boston steeled LeBron James unlike he'd ever been before. It was his time. I wonder if tonight you might just see that same type of focus, that right now the red meat's right in front of him. We can get right back to the NBA Finals and I get to go back to Boston to shut up all of these fans in doing so. I wonder if we're not on the precipice tonight of an epic game like that for LeBron. Maybe the Celtics throw enough junk his way and that he's not that way, but there's a part of me that wonders if we're in for that type of performance tonight where LeBron goes, "This is my perfect scenario to shut everybody up in this building, and then we're going to the NBA Finals and celebrating on a road floor." 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When we return, is Brock Osweiler totally delusional? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
While the sun is out.
I'm a show enough the alien now, sir. I will be calling back soon. Thank you so much, DA, from Starville. He'll say.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time for the Ring Central Sound of the Week. This week's sound comes to us from Roger Goodell. on the communication the league had with the players before changing the celebration rule this week.
The reality is, you know that the players want to celebrate. You know they want to exhibit their individuality and the excitement that they're feeling at that point in time. And they're very creative, as we all know. So that didn't surprise me. Several players I've mentioned, they didn't like the props. I mean, that wasn't unanimous. I think what was very, very strong consensus was the importance of keeping the standards up so that it reflected well in the players, it reflected well in the game, that we didn't do things that would be insulting to our fans, and I am confident the players are going to do that.
You know what ended up happening was that the NFL, always trying to capture the modern culture, realized that kids like celebrations, that in the NBA you're allowed to shimmy, you're allowed to dance, you're allowed to do three goggles, and that the NFL's always worried, is always consumed by being at the forefront of popular culture. And so the NFL, I guarantee you, said, well, we got to make sure we get the kids. Got to make sure we get the kids. Got to make sure we get young people. Young people like celebrations. Let's let them celebrate, which overall, the ends justify the means. I'm glad that they did this because it was always so ridiculous to try to legislate celebrations. But you know it's a bunch of old white guys going, well, we got to do what the kids like. That means more celebrations. Your business can communicate and collaborate more effectively anytime, anywhere, and on any device with RingCentral. Learn more at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, communicate, collaborate, and connect. I'm glad that they did this. I am. I'm glad that they did this. But there's a lot of reasons they should have done it earlier. Why are you making officials bother with thinking about 15-yarders after touchdowns? Now they've got to make that as a judgment call. What message are you sending? Oh, you are willing to have domestic violence abusers in your league, but you're not allowing dancing in the end zone. It was always stupid. Brock Osweiler yesterday, OTAs for the Cleveland Browns, and there is nothing that is more exciting than OTAs for the Cleveland Browns.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed, he's a bum.
You know, football is in the air. John Facenda's voice, NFL film, slow motion shots, the smell of football wafting at Cleveland Browns organized team activities. So Brock Osweiler was asked whether he feels he could still be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Are you good enough to be a starting quarterback in this league?
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely.
Why?
I think the proof is in the film for the past 2 years.
But some people would say the proof's not in the film from last year.
It's okay.
No, not the best reasoning, Brock. I love my baby Brock, baby Brock, baby Brock, baby Brock, baby Brock, baby Brock. You know, Brock Osweiler actually is the best solution to the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback situation. I mean, talk about a poo-poo platter, and I emphasize the poo. Kevin Hogan, Cody Kessler, DeShone Kizer, and Brock Osweiler.
It's okay.
So you've got two guys, let's face it, Cody Kessler, I don't care if they spent a third rounder and he got some reps last year, he's not a next-level starting quarterback in the NFL. He's just not. He's not ever going to get there. Could he be a serviceable backup? Could he maybe be a Hoyer? He could be a Hoyer or a McCown, but he is never going to be a next-level starting quarterback. We know that Kevin Hogan is not that guy either. And DeShone Kizer is really raw, so much so that his head coach said he needs to come back to Notre Dame because he's not ready to be in the NFL. So Brock Osweiler is the best solution by a long shot for them to start at quarterback coming up in 2017. Because remember, as bad as his reputation is, Brock Osweiler actually won enough games last year to help the Texans to the playoffs. They didn't really want him in the playoffs. He kind of was backdoored as the starting quarterback in the playoffs. But overall, Brock Osweiler got them enough wins to get to the playoffs in a bad division. But the year before obviously helped out that Denver Broncos team stay afloat when Peyton Manning went down. So there's enough there, and Brock Osweiler in some ways is right. You know, look at the film. I've been a starting quarterback the last two seasons. I mean, there is something to be said for you want a guy that's been to the playoffs the last two seasons with playoff teams, or do you want a raw rookie or Kevin Hogan or Cody Kessler? The issue, though, is that Brock Osweiler completely always sounds like he has no idea how poor he can be. That it always seemed like he's entitled or arrogant or overly confident. And in that interview, he also said in that press conference or press scrum, he also said, look, if I'm coming in here saying I should just be the backup, I'm the wrong guy for the job anyway. And he's right. You want starting quarterbacks that say I should be the starting quarterback. He's right about that. But there just seems to be the ultimate blind spot with Brock Osweiler. In Denver, did he perform relatively well? Sure. But they decide to go back late season to the living legend, a guy that is one of the top four quarterbacks of all time, a guy that has been to Pro Bowls and Super Bowls, and you trust in big games, even though his arm was obviously becoming shot. They go back to the living legend, and Brock Osweiler's the one throwing the hissy fit. How could you do that? How could you do that to me? How could you do that to you? We won the Super Bowl. We were validated, and you're mad about this? That always said everything you needed to know about Osweiler at that point in time. But then last year, he ends up in Houston. There's a lot of pressure on him because of all of the money. And he has a very underwhelming season. He throws for less than 3,000 yards, and he throws more INTs than touchdowns, 15 scores, 16 picks. And so if you're Brock Osweiler and you go into yesterday and you're asked, do you feel you could still be a starting quarterback? And you go, yeah, I absolutely do. And somebody says, why? Look, is that a loaded question? Sure. But you go, well, I've been a starting quarterback before. I've got a lot of experience to lean on. And, you know, I've been to the playoffs the last couple of seasons. And I feel like I'm good enough to be that. And I think everybody goes, okay. But when you go, look at the film. Just look at the film. You go, well, you had a lot of bad games in there last year. Do you really want us to look at the film? You were basically shoved out of town in Houston, and they were willing to get anything in return just to shove you away. It was so bad, they traded you and a draft pick. They're like, please, just take him in the contract. The Browns said, well, we don't really want him, but we'd like a draft pick. And the Texans said, okay, just take him and the contract, and we'll throw in a draft pick. The Browns only wanted the draft pick, not Osweiler. So it just feels like Osweiler has this ultimate blind spot. I think he's arrogant. I think he's arrogant and delusional. But is he the best solution right now, the best option at quarterback for the Browns? Yeah, he is. And if the Browns this year go, look, if they go 6-10, that's a big step up from 1-15 last year. If they go 6-10 and they have Brock Osweiler and then year two, DeShone Kizer starts, that's fine. But if you go into the season and you're starting Cody Kessler, you're probably going to go 1-15 again. If you're starting Kevin Hogan, you're probably going to go 1-15 again. 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, how Scottie Pippen's words about LeBron got all kinds of twisted. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
We're talking sports, but now we're not talking to the sports he wants. Okay, great. So I said, well, we also like spent a lot of time with the Predators. He says, you talked for like 5 minutes about finding a tooth. Your show is just very different from Tiki and Tierney. He says, and for the record, I'm not calling out your knowledge, but more of your comedic, lackadaisical, non-hot take-ish presentation of it.
Okay. By the way, I think that's fair.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at DA on CBS.com and the show's Facebook page, Zap Zap.
Yes, the permission granted podcast, the show about the show, is available on iTunes right now. Every week we do a show about the show, a show within the show. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter DA on CBS. Coming up at the top of the hour, 20 minutes from now, Sean Wayans, the very funny Sean Wayans, will join us coming up here on the program. He'll join us in studio, so we'll play 10 questions with him. So I highly encourage you to watch coming up at the top of the 10 Eastern time, and that will be at watchda.com, and that is also mobile friendly. You can watch it on your phone, watchda.com, for Sean Wayans joining us here in studio. You know, last night on Spike, Forrest Gump was on, and without a playoff game, I found myself for the night to just watch a movie. You know, with all these playoff games, every single night I'm locked into one of the games. I have not watched a full-length movie in months, and I love Forrest Gump, but I had not seen Forrest Gump in a long time. So it's on, and I catch it right as, I would say, maybe 20 minutes in. So I'm right at when the hillbillies in the truck are chasing him down the dirt road, and Jenny's saying, run, Forrest, run! And he outruns the truck and then runs across the practice field where Bear Bryant scouts him. Now, I have some questions about this, but there's a bigger picture here. Number one, I'm guessing he runs across a practice field in Greenbow, Alabama. I got to imagine in, let's say, 1964, 65, whenever this is supposed to take place, maybe 1962, Bear Bryant is not holding Alabama Crimson Tide practices in Greenbow, Alabama on the high school field. So it's a little weird because there is an entire practice going on and he's in the stands. I wonder if that is a mistake or maybe he was scouting somebody for a high school practice. Maybe there was a recruit there that he was in the stands watching.
Maybe he had the original satellite camp and brought it over to Greenboro,
that's
Alabama.
True. That's possible. So this is where Forrest runs right through practice and outruns the guy that is catching the bomb and goes right through under the goalposts. Somebody, one of his assistant coaches or something, says, oh, that's just a local idiot. So I wonder how Bear Bryant tracked down Forrest Gump to offer him the scholarship, because it's not like there's a bunch of recruiting services online in the early 60s. He's got to go find him. I guess one of the assistant coaches helps connect the dots and goes to get Forrest Gump and give him the offer.
I mean, the movie's 4 hours long, D.A. You need to have the assistant coach knock on his door now, too.
But then it struck me watching his collegiate career, and he becomes an All-American at Alabama as a kick returner, that he really is the original special teams weapon. And Bear Bryant is known as a real innovator in college football, that Forrest Gump is Devin Hester before Devin Hester. He's brought in just for special teams. And think about how early for his time, how before his time that is for Bear Bryant. He's going, I can't use this guy on offense because he can't remember the plays. I can't use him on defense because he can't cover anybody. He's not big enough to do anything else. But I will recruit him and give him a scholarship just to run back kicks. And it is totally validated because Forrest Gump becomes an All-American. So there is so much to like about the forward thinking of Bear Bryant at this time. And you think about it, you know, Gale Sayers was around this time at Kansas, the Kansas Comet, kind of doing the same thing. But he's also a running back. I mean, they're recruiting Gale Sayers to be a workhorse back for them and a kick returner. Forrest Gump is only there as a special teamer. That shows you the genius of Bear Bryant.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think another twist in the athletic legacy of Forrest Gump that really sticks with me is with all that speed and knowing how Bear Bryant used him, when he gets out of the Army, how is he not a runner for Team USA in the Olympics? How does he transition into a ping pong player? And I know as great as he is in ping pong, he's already become basically a national brand running back kicks for Alabama, that he should be in the Olympics representing Team USA as a sprinter. He should have been our Usain Bolt.
He could have been our Usain Bolt. You're right. You're absolutely right. He could have certainly run distance as well. I mean, we have not had an American marathoner as a gold medalist in a long, long time. Obviously, Kenya, Ethiopia has really monopolized the distance running. You know, Forrest Gump ran for 3 years. He ran from coast to coast. He started running and just wanted to run to the end of the block. Then he wanted to run through Greenbow. Then he went to the county line. Then he ran straight through Alabama all the way to Mississippi and then said, I'm just going to keep running. He goes all the way to the Pacific coast, sees the water, runs all the way back to Maine, then keeps running back and forth zigzag in the country for more than 3 years. He really could have been the great American marathoner.
It's true. It really is unbelievable. But how do you make it all the way to the Pacific coast without your wallet?
And with one pair of clothes that he ran in for 3 years.
Stinky boxers.
What a great two-sport athlete, though, really. What a great two-sport athlete. So I tweeted about this last night, and Clayton tweeted back, D.A., he stood very tall, hard-angle cuts in the open field. It's very true. Forrest Gump was not a shifty guy. He was a north-south runner.
Power runner, actually.
But when he ducked left, it was very upright, so he took a lot of shots, I'm sure, up top. He did not run low.
He actually had a lot of Bo Scarborough in him.
But a lot of hard-angle cuts, it's true. A lot of hard-angle cuts. Frostavo tweets, D.A., a grizzly bear at one end zone and Devin Hester in his prime at the other one. Does Hester get a touchdown or does the bear get Hester? It's a great question, Frostavo. I'm glad you brought this up. This is exactly the type of debate that we're looking for here on the show. Devin Hester definitely gets the touchdown. It's just too much. It's too much surface area for the bear to defend.
Do you realize how quick bears really are?
Bears are very quick. Bears are very aggressive. Bears can really knock you on your feet, knock you off your feet. But for Devin Hester, think about how wide a football field is. He just has to make a few cuts, and he's running around the bear.
It's a bear. It's a bear. It's not a linebacker back there playing special teams. The bear is going to cover ground and maul him.
I think
you know how easy is to trip it up with that schnoz and mouth?
I think that Devin Hester definitely runs around the bear. I think that he's just picking his lane. And the bear, he doesn't have the same lateral movement.
If we could get Hester and a bear to agree to do this, I would go down and put hard money on the bear.
I would put hard, hard money on Devin Hester. Hard money.
Hester's gotten old, too. Didn't the Falcons cut him?
Well, that's true. Where would you go on this question here, Bilotti?
I go Hester because the bear can wander. He doesn't know what's going on. He can wander off.
He can wander, yes. He's not focused on the
defense. Kind of like the horses in the Preakness. Are they aware of what's going on?
So Scottie Pippen made news yesterday because he weighed in on this LeBron versus Michael Jordan debate. Because, of course, he did. Because that's the only thing anybody is allowed to talk about now. And I saw some of the headlines that said, Scottie Pippen says LeBron is no Michael. LeBron's not even as good as Magic. And it made you think, oh, here's just another old guy that is really a hater on anything modern and wants to protect the guys from his era. And Scottie Pippen has said some dopey things before. So my thought was, this guy is just once again taking shots at the modern era of guys, including LeBron, and it's going to not make any sense to just be old guy, get off my lawn. But what Pippen said actually was nothing like that in terms of being inflammatory. Pippen said, quote, I don't think LeBron should be compared to Kobe or Michael because they play different positions. Kobe and Michael are both two guards. They're both scorers. They're mostly like Kyrie. They're looking to score the basketball when it hits their hand. They're not looking to make plays for anyone on the floor. They're not looking to be a facilitator. That's the role that LeBron plays because he's such a dominant, powerful force, and he's a great passer. That makes a lot of sense. mentality of LeBron is not the mentality of Michael or of Kobe. Those guys are going, give me the ball, I am scoring. Give me the ball, I need to put it in the hoop. Give me the ball, I am the alpha male that has to be the scoring load here. For LeBron, he's a facilitator. And so I think that's a really fair way of looking at this. There are different responsibilities on the court. And that's why when people crucify LeBron for not having the same killer instinct, quote unquote, at the end of games, or not scoring as much as Michael, and for, you know, passing up the final shots, he's got different responsibilities than Michael. He's basically the point guard. Pippen said, quote, I think he plays a lot more like Magic. A lot more like myself, actually. Obviously, he's more dominant than both me and Magic because of the way that he plays the game. Physicality, his athleticism surpass Magic as well as me. So there is Pippen actually giving credit to LeBron and saying, he's way better than me, and he's better than Magic in this way, the physicality and athleticism better than Magic. So there's actually a compliment. But again, everybody just wanted to act as though Pippen was destroying LeBron and Pippen was saying that LeBron didn't even deserve to be in the same conversation. He went on to say, quote, I don't want to say he surpassed Magic because they're both up there. Magic is truly one of the greatest ever to play the game, and he transcended how a big guard, 6'9", could play all over the floor and really motivated me that I could play the top of the floor and run an offense as well. That's what you're seeing in LeBron. He's a guy that runs a team. We never saw Kobe and Michael at the point running a team. They're not comfortable in that position because when they cross half court, they're thinking, I want to score. All of this makes perfect sense from Scottie Pippen. And it was painted as him taking a shot at LeBron and instead is just speaking the truth. He's saying, I don't want to say he's better than Magic because Magic was really great as well. And Magic changed the game. And that's so true. And saying that, taking a little bit of a shot at his own guy and Michael, saying, you know what? Kobe and Michael, they weren't comfortable running point. Because the moment they cross half court, they're thinking, how can I score? How can I score? Not how can I get the rest of my guys involved? So for Scottie Pippen, this was blown so out of proportion. This was all about a headline trying to sell a certain narrative. Old guy rips LeBron. Says LeBron isn't as good as Magic. Says LeBron isn't as good as Kobe. Says LeBron isn't as good as Michael. But it really wasn't that is at all. And I think what Pippen said made a lot of sense. Totally honest, totally truthful, and very factual. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Joe tweets, did you just go all Tom Luganville on Forrest Gump? What's his scout ranking? It's a great question. I would imagine Gump is a three-star athlete, a three-star recruit. Again, he's limited. He can't play offense for you. He's not running plays. He can't play defense for you. He's only a special teams guy. Could he be recruited simply as an athlete? Yeah, he has no defined position. But I think he's probably a three-star athlete, very raw, not high football IQ. But as we learn from the movie, Forrest Gump has a high life IQ. So I think he would do very well in the Wonderlic.
I would imagine he's a great locker room guy as well.
Great locker room guy. Well, look, that is brought into focus with what he does on the Vietnam battlefields. This is a guy that keeps going back for Bubba. And he doesn't find Bubba. And he goes back time and time and time and time again. Even when Lieutenant Dan says, you can't go back in there. I've ordered an airstrike. And so continually, you've got Forrest Gump putting his life at peril to save others. Great locker room guy, and eventually finds Bubba.
Short career, though, because of the Dr. Pepper addiction.
There's no question if we had a modern sports science to give to Forrest Gump, I think we would have to wean him off the Dr. Pepper.
Tough. You can't survive in the NFL if you're drinking Dr. Pepper all that time.
You're going to be dehydrated a lot. There's not enough electrolytes, fluids in that. You're just not going to get the best out of your body. There's probably going to be some liver issues. Very hard to detox after 12 Dr. Peppers.
How did he run across the country with no wallet and loving Dr. Pepper?
I don't know. I don't know. The movie did not get into that. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the SuperStart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know, I'm very excited about our next guest because he's a big sports fan. He's a big basketball fan. He's joined us on the show before, and he's in town doing some stand-up coming up here. And, you know, I'm very excited because some of the stuff that this guy has done is some of the funniest stuff I think that has been done in a long time. Sean Wayans is going to join us in studio. Very excited. Sean Wayans in studio. So watch on the digital broadcast by going to watchda.com. Again, you can get that on your phone, mobile friendly, watchda.com. That is coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.